Welcome to Rocket Pop. In this episode, we're talking about the Jerry Seinfeld-directed comedy Unfrosted, which very, very hilariously fake chronicles Kellogg's race to invent the Pop-Tart. Free from any remotely serious undertones and focusing on things that are just plain funny, this wonderfully silly movie is perfect for families with older kids around 14 or 15 years old and up, an ideal choice for anyone who wants pure fun without a bunch of navel-gazing, lessons learned, and, well, a ton of plot. Just like a Pop-Tart, it's fun, delicious, and devoid of any sort of nutrients. Unfrosted, let's talk about it.
Welcome to Rocket Pop Reviews, giving Christian families a reliable source for reviews of movies, shows, books, and podcasts.
Every four computers now have primary control of critical vehicle function.
We're serious about the fun of entertainment.
Nice to be in orbit.
Roger, 0G, and I feel fine.
And now your hosts, Steve Manuel and Jeff Davenport.
I found this movie so refreshing because it's just plain silliness. There's no character transformation in this movie. They're not trying to get at anything more than, let's have fun. It reminded me of if Steve Martin back in the 70s had this idea, this is what he would have pulled off.
Right.
And so Seinfeld and his pals at Spike Ferriston, Barry Martyr, who we know as Ted L. Nancy, Andy Robin, they wrote this movie during COVID because Jerry couldn't go out touring. He wanted to go do stand-up. He couldn't. So like, let's write a movie over Zoom. So they wrote this movie. And their whole idea was, let's just go nuts. And they have thrown everything at the wall. And as I'm watching it, I'm turning to my wife going, if there's a scene you don't like, hang on. In 30 seconds, you're going to have something totally different. So when jokes don't work, that's fine. That's fine. There are 1,000 more coming. You're going to be fine. You're going to laugh probably at something. And isn't there something nice about that?
You and I have talked for 15 years, maybe, about the fact that the silly, fun comedy has gone the way of the poodle skirt. You get the stepbrothers kind of comedy where it's way past the line. We're just thinking up the most outrageous. That's where all of the fun comes from, is being outrageous.
You can
put Bridesmaids into this category. This is what a modern comedy is. So the days of, I know it's kind of a mature comparison, but these are the touch point hilarious comedies we think of when we're growing up. Fletch would just be a silly, you know, putting on wigs, making silly, you have to get that voice like this, you know, just being silly. As you say, Steve Martin movies. And there's something that is pure about that kind of comedy that we don't see anymore. So I personally am happy to celebrate the fact that this kind of movie even exists. And I know I haven't seen the movie, but I know Jerry Seinfeld well enough to know he would not let any kind of racial sensitivity or diversity, you know, lessons in there. He just won't allow any of it. His only mantra is, if it's funny, we keep it. And if it's not funny, we don't use it, period. And I love that.
They make allusions to January 6th, but it's not with any sort of commentary. It's more like, it's like an old Seinfeld episode. Remember where they would have things play out and you're like, oh, this is sort of like that. That's it. They're not going, now let's think seriously about the threat to our democracy. Nothing like that. The other really refreshing thing about this movie, and I teased it in my little teaser there, is that how many comedies have we seen in the last 20 years? It starts off funny. It's so great. And they've set this world up. And then about 2/3 of the way through, they're having to work through the plot that they have created that they've forgotten any sort of jokes. You're going, why is this hard to follow? This is a silly comedy. And they've lost track of the fact that this is meant to be funny. They're now tying up strings into this movie. You're never once going, now, wait a minute.
Character? What was his motivation? Did he know that girl from the scene 30 minutes earlier?
They want to make the Pop-Tart before Post makes the Pop-Tart. That's it. That's all.
I love it.
The only times you're ever confused are when they're trying something a little zany and you're like, what are they going for? I'm not going to spoil certain things. There's one thing that I don't think totally works. It's almost a supernaturally kind of weird thing going on. It doesn't quite work. And if somebody goes, I don't understand that, I think Jerry would go, yeah, that's about right.
Yeah, it's okay.
Yeah, that's all right. That's
well, fine. One thing I've heard about the movie is that there's just a cavalcade of stars. There's just cameo after cameo after cameo. And to me, that also feels throwback. It feels like what you used to see on The Muppet Show. I think of movies like It's a Mad, 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 Mad World, where there's just every kind of zany, you know, even serious actors show up to play on their persona, you know, et cetera.
Yes.
And you just kind of feel like, hey, this is the pack. These are all the buddies.
Well, I mean, when was the last time you saw a movie? The whole time you're thinking, they had a blast making this.
That's great.
There's a pair of cameos I won't spoil towards the end. It works out really well. But the names that are known in this are obviously Seinfeld plays Robert Cabana. I just think that's a great name. Bob Cabana. So he's Bob Cabana. Jim Gaffigan plays Edsel Kellogg's, which is a great name because he's the head of he runs the Kellogg fortune, but he's the son of the first Kellogg. Well, they named him Edsel, which was what Henry Ford named his son in the car.
Perfect.
Melissa McCarthy in it. She's really funny. Jack McBrayer plays Schwinn.
Gold. He's
always gold. Hugh Grant plays Tony the Tiger. He's so fun. Andy Daly, you might recognize this guy. One of the choices, and they're really good about going, now we know this character is funny, but we're not going to use too much. We're going to use him sparingly. He plays the Quaker Oats guy. So he's a Quaker guy. And he's so wonderful. Every time he shows up, they give us just enough of him. Bill Burr, who I'm not the biggest Bill Burr fan, he plays JFK. It's choice. It's so choice.
Great.
And then I would say where the movie doesn't work, where every time they cut to this, you're like, that's not working, is Amy Schumer. She's not my favorite, but I'm willing to root for her in this. She's
nowhere near my favorite. She hasn't smelled the favorites list of mine in 20 years.
I think she's made me laugh in something in the past.
Okay.
Well, every time they cut her, she's like the nemesis of Kellogg's. It's like they didn't show up for her shooting. It's almost like it's her and her assistant. Those scenes aren't funny. And I want to put the blame on her, but I don't think they're even written very funny. It's kind of, it's a little jarring. You're like, she throws a typewriter at her assistant one point, and I think you're supposed to feel like, oh, that's a great moment. Okay, let's go to the next thing.
It's like it's from another movie.
It feels like it. There's a funeral scene that they just went, all right, we are joke stacking here. We are joke stacking. It's just some really beautiful moments in it.
That's great.
Fun, silly movie. Again, it's about Kellogg's trying to develop the Pop-Tart before Post developed something similar. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, an older man named David Sheldon, about this movie because I said, I bet you'd think this was funny. And he immediately is like, I remember when Pop-Tarts came out. Oh, you do? He goes, oh, yeah. It was the craziest thing. I couldn't wait to get my hands on them. I was so excited about them, which is how Jerry Seinfeld describes it. You know what his line is when I first heard about Pop-Tarts?
The back of my head blew right off.
So he loves this topic. Well, and in the movie, I'm not spoiling anything, this is true to life. This is one of the few things true to life. And David affirmed this. When they put Pop-Tarts on the shelves, the nation was cleaned out of them. Cleaned out. And
people,
I said, David,
them.
Why? He goes, there was nothing like it. There was absolutely nothing like it.
There was no breakfast treat.
None whatsoever. And so anyway, a fun, silly, throw stuff at the wall movie. If in the first 15 minutes you haven't laughed, it's probably not for you. By the way, within a minute of the opening, you're going to get a really nicely composed reference to Norman Rockwell. And you just go, oh, that's such a nice little thing. It's really beautiful.
Oh, that's delightful.
Now, the warnings are there's some cusses in this. It's PG-13. There's some cusses in this. A couple of things to look out for your children. One is they're probably not going to get a lot of the jokes. You just have to kind of be a kid of the maybe 70s, definitely the 80s, even though this takes place in 63. you're just not going to get a lot of the jokes, like these jokes about cereal and the characters on the cereal boxes. You might not get them.
Right.
There are a number of cusses in this, and there are some off-color jokes that you're like, do we need that? I don't know. They're not always funny.
Of a sexual nature?
Slightly.
A little blue. He's going a little blue.
Occasionally. About as blue as Jerry goes. You know, okay. He doesn't go very blue.
Right.
There's no F-bomb in the movie.
Okay.
I don't think. I'm pretty sure there's not.
Is there GDing in this movie?
There's some GDs. Jerry likes the GD every so often.
He does. It's an interesting question. What do we do with our children when it comes to hearing cuss words? I think the same question is true in real life as it is for seeing something on the screen. My children are 12 and 14, and whenever anything like that happens, there is a tiny debrief. A lot of times I'll be listening to sports podcasts. The kids get in the car and suddenly, and I'll just pause it and go, that was new. Okay. That wasn't being said 30 seconds ago. And that has happened before. And I just want them, they would do this naturally. Okay. They would pick up on the fact that they don't hear those words around the house. Yeah. We don't talk that way. Our friends don't talk that way. All I want to do is underline to them that we think that's wrong. We think that that's lack of self-control. We think there are inappropriate words and that our language is supposed to be clean. Obviously, this is one of those discernment things. How much could you watch before, okay, that's enough. Mm. My mother, 80-year-old Linda Manuel, about one word is about enough for her.
Why do they have to talk like that?
And that's exactly it. Well, my tolerances are a little higher than that, but you can be sure if there's a child in the room, my tolerances go way, way lower. And so I can't give you a good, happy answer. We talked about Back to the Future recently, and that there was a lot more cussing in that movie than I remember. And I felt like that was really the high end of what I would let my children sit through, because while we're all raising our eyebrows and looking at each other and going, well, you know, hey,
different times,
there does come a point where it's normalized. And now it's just a shoulder shrug and like, well, hearing four bad words every 2 minutes, that's normal. And I don't want that to be normal. I want it to get eyebrows up. And it's kind of strange because I think I want, as my children mature, I want them to be able to sit in a conversation with somebody, as I hope to be able to do, and there's swearing happening, and you sort of, it's highlighted in your mind when you see it. Oh, that's an out of bounds word. However, it doesn't throw me. I'm still able to listen to the person. I'm listening to the idea. I can go, you know, try to empathize with what they're saying, et cetera. And I kind of want my children to end in that same place. I don't want them to be able to watch Casino and not, you know, not worry about any of the disgusting language. Okay, there is something that's just, it's just unclean and we shouldn't touch it. But we have to find some gray line, and it's that changes from family to family. How much can we tolerate? And the weird thing is, as everybody knows, is trying to merge with friends and the other families that come in. And I have this famous example of I just knew it was a comedy, and bought for my mother-in-law season 3 of Curb Your Enthusiasm for Christmas Day.
I remember this. I love this story.
What we did was popped it in the DVD. Let's all watch an episode. And I think we got 5 minutes in and it came out of the DVD player. It was handed back to me. No, thank you, Stephen. And that was an embarrassing moment. That's when we realized there was a merging that did not happen with families. Anyhow, it's a delicate thing. I appreciate the warning. Unfrosted, while silly and funny, might have some things that you have to either cover the ears of the children, or maybe it's not appropriate for everybody's family.
I will say this. If you're wanting to watch something with your wife and don't watch this movie if you're in a bad mood, because you will not like it. I can promise you. But if you're in kind of a bad mood, it's going to help you out a lot.
Okay.
It's going to get you over the hump. It's going to get you past your daily blues. But you and your wife, you know, if your wife remotely has a kind of silly sense of humor, this is not a Seinfeld episode. These aren't commentaries about relationships. This is just a fun, silly movie. And if you, I hate to say this, check your brain at the door, you're going to have a good time. You're probably going to laugh. And I guarantee you, you're going to want to eat a Pop-Tart afterward.
All right. So we're giving Unfrosted, here it is, two thumbs up out of the toaster.
3, 2, 1, 0.
Thanks for listening to Rocket Pop Reviews. Don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with your friends. See you next time for another family-friendly review.